You're listening to Fan of a Fan, an independently produced podcast for stands by stands. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Augie. Welcome back, everybody, to episode 20. We're really, really excited. In this episode, we're going to dive into one of my personal favorite pop albums, and I'm dragging Kay along on the ride. We're going to talk about Ariana Grande's My Everything album. It was her second album that she released a couple years ago that I revisit all the time. So we're going to just talk about some of our favorite parts of the album. We're going to talk about the space that Ariana holds in this crazy pop music world that we're in right now. We're really excited to get into it.
Yes, and while you're listening, make sure you use the hashtag FOAFpod to show us your thoughts and let us know your favorite songs from the album as well. So let's get it started.
Let it go. So,
yes,
we're talking
Ariana Grande.
Before we get into the My Everything album, let's talk a little bit about just Ariana and a little bit about her career and, like, just the space that she's holding right now, because she's not quite an icon or anything, but she's also not a newbie anymore. She's, like, really still kind of making her way up. So when did she kind of first pop onto your radar, and just talk a little bit about your thoughts on her?
I wish I could tell you the year, but I just remember watching her on YouTube, like back when she had her old nose, when she was still on Victorious and made videos on YouTube with the cast of Victorious and stuff like that. I subscribed to her YouTube page. Mm-hmm. So I've liked Ariana Grande for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I think that she is an amazing vocalist, you know what I mean? And you don't really get that in pop music nowadays, right, you know what I mean? So, I've loved her for a really long time. So, you know, when her first album came out, Yours Truly and stuff like that, I loved it. I love My Everything. I love kind of like Dangerous Woman, but like for Ariana Grande, like I think she kind of created her own lane because she's not like really big and flashy like other pop stars. She, in recent years, I guess she's incorporated like choreography and mm-hmm. things like that into her whole like stage presence or whatever. But I like her because at the end of the day, it's the vocals, right? Yeah. She makes great pop music with vocals. And I think a lot of people think that when you have a voice like hers, you have to automatically sing songs like Jasmine Sullivan all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I like that she was able to go into pop music and do kind of like that urban pop thing, and it works for her.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's, I really like Ariana Grande, and I have for a really long time. And I think she just has her own lane and she stays in it, and it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My kind of introduction to her was really similar to yours. I mean, saw her on Victorious. Like, she didn't have as many, like, you know, moments on that show where she was kind of the star. But when they did give you a chance to listen to her voice, it was insane because you're like, how is that voice coming from this like tiny little white girl? and so then like you said, I started watching her YouTube channel and was just really into all of her covers, like from Christina Aguilera to, Alicia Keys and everything. And just like, I don't know, just like following her and like really wanting her to go big, but I never really expected her to get as big as she was, I guess, because I don't know, like I just didn't know like how the outside world was going to kind of accept her, because for example, the lead in Victorious, what's her face, Victoria, whatever.
Victoria Justice.
Like people kind of like completely forgot about her, and she stayed a Nickelodeon star. So I didn't know that Ariana was necessarily going to be able to break away from that. But like when she did, like you said, Yours Truly was amazing. It was super bubblegum pop and like, you know, very like, I don't know, it was very like late teens kind of album. Like it wasn't too mature or anything. But like you said, with My Everything, I think one of the reasons why it's my personal, like one of my personal favorite pop albums is just because it represents a lot of where I hope pop music will continue to go, which is, mm-hmm. you know, you have the great production, you have the great vocals, and just being able to bring those together and give you a solid pop song that is really an easy listen, like, is something that I really love, because I feel like yeah. these days you either get good production or good vocals, or you get neither of them. And so it's really yeah. rare to have both of those things together in a song that's being played, you know, on top 40. And so on My Everything, it was like all of those, it was just like the perfect mix of those production and solid vocals. Like, they really knew how to utilize her voice and kind of make a great record. And that's what they did. So, yeah, I mean, I really loved it. I think she worked with like really great producers on it. You know, mm-hmm. like even Dark Child and, you know, Ryan Tedder, like all these people that we kind of know that have worked with some of our R&B faves, including Beyonce. Yeah. And so it was, I think it was like a really good album. And yeah. Something else I really wanted to say is just how much this album, My Everything, represented growth for her in particular. Because mm-hmm. Yours Truly was such a bubblegum pop album. She really only had like, what, two, maybe three singles from that album that actually got radio play. Yeah. Whereas with My Everything, it was kind of like half the album was on the radio for like, yes. you know, over the course of like 2014 and 15. Yeah. And it was like an album that was full of anthems, but again, like they weren't just pop songs that were made quickly and manufactured just to kind of put a million things out. Like, they were actually all really solid songs. Yeah. And so, yeah, I just really appreciated it. And I revisit it almost every month. Like, if you follow me on Twitter, you probably see me tweeting about it.
Yes, she does.
And yeah, like, I really just, let's get into some of our, I guess, favorite tracks okay. from the album. And so for all of you guys that are listening, the way we're going to do this is, we separately chose like five of our favorite songs, and we're just kind of gonna go in order of, you know, the track list. So not mm-hmm. necessarily favorite to least favorite or anything. We're just gonna go in order, and we're gonna, the songs that we had in common, we'll just jump on each other's conversation and talk about it together. And then all the other ones, I mean, we'll just run through those too. So I will start because I had the very first song on the album, mm-hmm. which was the intro. And it's exactly what it says it is. It's the intro to the album. I don't even think it's 2 minutes long. It's like really short. And it's just yeah. her like harmonizing over herself with herself. And I just think it's like a really perfect album opener, and it also just fits as like a nice message to the listeners, because she's giving almost like a disclaimer that this album is a lot more open and honest. I gave you all I have and nothing less, I promise. Love me and don't look back. I want you with me on this road to the sky. We'll be shining every night, I promise you. Just me. Yeah, I just think it's like a beautiful, beautiful song. And you can hear, again, the maturity with both the vocals on this and the lyrics and what she's saying. And so I just think it's so, so good.
You have another one, right, before we get yes. to our...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So before we get to the other ones, the next track that I'm really into is Why Try. And also, I'm lumping in One Last Time into this one because I have a bit of like a warm take. I don't want to call it a hot take. It's like kind of a warm take. But I think there's like a line that can be drawn from like Anita Baker to Toni Braxton down to Ariana. And I feel like, I just feel like vocally they're in the same family tree. I'm not necessarily saying that like she rises to that level per se, and it's even hard to tell now because she's just so young in her career. But I think between Why Try and One Last Time, you kind of get that throwback of just the, you have these moments where she's in her lower register for a large part of both of these songs, and you hear kind of the, that smooth, velvety, like, tone that she can kind of get to with some of her songs. And also, half the time, you can't understand what she's saying. and I feel like people have made the Mariah Carey comparison with Ariana a lot. But, and I think it's because of, you know, when she first started coming out, you know, when she first started releasing music, you know, you heard that whistle register and everything. So people immediately just made that comparison, which I think is totally valid because she does have a really wide range. But I do think that sometimes when she hits those lower tones and stuff, it does give me Tony and Anita vibes. And I just, I feel like, I don't know, I may be completely wrong and I may be the only person that thinks this, but I hear it and it's something that I've like wanted to talk about for a while. So there you go. But yeah, that's kind of the feel I get from Why Try and One Last Time. You have your big vocal moments when it comes to the chorus and whatnot, but like all around that, you have the lyrics that you can barely understand, the smooth, velvety like tone, which I really, really love. So
yeah, and I mean, that is the recipe to Anita Baker and Toni Braxton's whole discography.
Pretty much. You know,
words you can't understand in a velvety tone. So I get your warm take. I get it. I got it.
Appreciate it.
So next up would be Best Mistake. For me, it's one of my favorite songs on the album. And I think it might just be because I really love their collabs, Big Sean and Ariana Grande. And I also really like the piano in the background. It's really haunting almost. And she's kind of, I'm not gonna sing like her, but she, or try at least, but the way she's singing, she's not really enunciating her words. It's almost like the, you know, Toni Braxton, Anita Baker thing where she kind of is just floating over the track or whatever. And it's really flowy and, like you said, velvety, and it works. Big Sean's verse is not his best verse, but but it is.
What is the line he says about her mom?
And I feel like that everything we do is overdue. You ask why I love your mom so much, cause she's a older you. I wish that.
Okay. But yeah, so I like Best Mistake. I think it might, that piano though, like, and I think that might just have a lot to do with the fact that when I listen to music, I do listen to the production sometimes first before I actually listen to the music. I mean, the lyrics and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, I really like Best Mistake.
So yeah, that was cool. I really like, they were actually a cute real life couple.
They were, they were.
And so, and I do think they make good music together, but yeah, I do agree that it wasn't Big Sean's best verse.
No.
but I think Ariana was really great. So.
Yeah. So yeah, let's see, Be My Baby is next.
Oh my God.
So let's talk about it.
Let's talk about
this
Be My
is
Baby.
Like, if not my favorite. Yeah, it's my favorite, I think. You know?
Honestly, I go back and forth, but, like, it, not many other songs on this album get me as hyped as Be My Baby.
Listen,
like, Cashmere
I love
Cat
this song.
Completely killed the production on this song.
Yes.
I think the arrangement of it and just the way, like, Ariana's vocals on this song, it literally feels like a vocal roller coaster.
Yes.
Like, the way, like, she's just going up and down and up and down with the notes that she's hitting. And it's just, like, it's kind of similar to what you were saying with Best Mistake in that, like, she's kind of just floating over the track. And you can really hear how, like, free she was on it.
Mm-hmm.
I just absolutely love this song. Like, I literally was listening to it in the bathroom earlier, just getting so hyped. But, yeah, this is a great, great song. Absolutely.
I like it because, like, with DJs, like, you know, like Cashmere Cat, he's a producer, but, you know, he's a DJ or whatever. He's kind of like Calvin Harris and Diplo in a way where they're featured on the song, but it's their production is the, you know, their production is a feature or whatever. But I like that the production isn't all over the place. Like, I think it's perfect for Ariana Grande. I think if anybody else was singing this song, I might not have liked it as much. Mm-hmm. And also, like, DJs tend to drown out the singer with their production. So, but I think because, like you said earlier, you either get great production or bad vocals, or great vocals and, like, bad production. But in this sense, it was like, because Ariana is such a great singer, I think Cashmere Cat, like, met her halfway. And mm-hmm. I feel like you don't get that often with, like, DJs and singers when they collab and stuff like that. So that's why Be My Baby is, like, my favorite from this album. And it's just a bop. Like,
it should have been a fucking single.
It really should have. It like, really I'm should have been a still single. Very, like, upset about it not being a single, because, like, she totally slept on this.
Yeah, it just, it marries the vocals and the production so, so perfectly that, like, yeah, I couldn't have wanted this any other way. I think it's a great, great song that doesn't get old at all.
Yes. So, let's see, what's next? I think it's Break Your Heart Right Back.
Yes, so, the pettiest song on the album, in my opinion.
Yes. So, Childish Gambino is featured on the song. If you don't know who Childish Gambino is, he's Donald Glover. A lot of people don't know that is the same person. So it samples, you know, y'all know I love a good sample. I think that's why, like, I like it in the first place, because of the sample or whatever. But it samples I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross. But the real sample is actually Mo' Money, Mo' Problems by Biggie, Mace, Diddy, and Kelly Price. Tell me who rock, who sell out in the stores. You tell me who flop, who cop the blue drop, who jewels got blocks, who mostly don't you down. Now that it's over, I just wanna break your heart right back, won't you call me your real.
So it's like a sample of a sample.
Yeah. So it's just great to me. I think that Childish Gambino rapping his verse in the same, like, cadence that Biggie used in Mo' Money, Mo' Problems was, like, really nice and creative. I really like that part. B-I-G-P-O-P-P-A. Okay, G-A-M-B-I-N-O-I. Know they hate, but I don't know I, And his verse is corny, but I think because I love the sample so much that I don't really pay attention to it too much or whatever. But yeah, I mean, Break Your Heart Right Back is just, I really like it.
It's a great one. Another one that I wish would have been a single. But yeah, the reason why I called it the pettiest song on the album is because it does sample I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross. Yeah. It is a sample of Mo' Money, Mo' Problems. And the song itself is about Ariana, like, getting her heart broken by this guy she was dating who ended up being gay.
Yeah, and, like, Childish Gambino
says, you have
this
song, you have Diana Ross underneath being like, I'm coming up. And then it's just, like, all about this guy who ended up being gay. And I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? But anyway, so the whole premise is her just talking about how she needs to get him back for breaking her heart.
Right.
Like, I think it's a really interesting thing because, a lot of times in pop music nowadays, you don't get storylines.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a story. This, like, is messy. This is something for Mari.
Like, what, usually nowadays, it's like there's one verse talking about some random mumble jumble of things, and then the second verse is a completely unrelated mumble jumble of things. And so that I do like this song because it does give you storyline, which is, like, really crazy.
Because she's like,
funny.
I just want to break your heart right back. And Childish Gambino is like, yes, I'm a G from the A, and they ask why. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, he's like, how can I spell it out even clearer for you that, like, this is what happened?
Gay. I don't want you. But yeah, I really like that song, Break Your Heart Right Back. It's a fun, just, like, you know, song to dance to as well. Like, even if you didn't pay attention to the lyrics and stuff like that. Yeah. So yeah.
Next up, we have Love Me Harder, which features another really solid collab featuring The Weeknd. And I think this was one of the better singles/collabs on the album, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
I just think it was it was definitely as overplayed as the other singles from this album, but like I'm still not tired of it or annoyed by it at all.
Yeah.
Which I think that's one of the signs of like a really just solid song when it just never annoys you. And I just think it was cool. This was one of the singles, if not the single, that really helped The Weeknd cross over into pop. So I think it really has a lot of meaning for him, in addition to just being a really successful song for her as well. What's next?
The next song is My Everything. So this is one of my favorites because I love a ballad, and because she can sing really well, it just works. Like, that's really the only reason why I like it. It's the title track, and I mean, I like the melody of the song. And yeah, I mean, that's the only real reason why I like it, because it's a ballad and it's a really good one.
Yeah, and it's like a ballad. I think there were a lot of features, collabs on this album. I think the majority of the singles she released, you know, I think maybe But For One were all collabs. I really do like hearing her on her own sometimes, because I do think she can hold her own but doesn't get enough credit for it.
He wasn't my everything till we were nothing, and it's taken me a lot to say, but now that
because, you know, when it comes to promotional stuff, like, they always push for these collabs. So yeah, I think it's a beautiful, beautiful song. I think it touches on like feelings that we all have gone through. Like, it's a really deep track. She really goes there emotionally on a lot of these songs. And you got to give her props for that, like, absolutely.
So the next one would be mine again, Bang Bang. Now listen,
yes,
I love Bang Bang, and it's featuring Jessie J and Nicki Minaj. And immediately, like, when I first heard about the song, I didn't hear it. When I first heard it was coming out and people were trying to, like, dub it as the new Lady Marmalade, I was like, hold on now, because that song is, like, iconic, right? But, you know, she's a cute girl, but she's no Lady Marmalade. But overall, it's a bop. Like, it's a bop with, like, crazy runs that are perfect to try when you're driving and home alone when no one can hear you. Like, I never would have thought that I'd hear a song with Jessie J and Ariana Grande, first of all, because they're two like powerhouse singers, and then when you add Nicki Minaj in the mix, it's just like I never would have even thought to put those three on the track. So, but it worked. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, it's just a really good song to sing along to. Like, I'm always trying to sing that note at the end that Jessie J does when she's like, and I'm like, whoa, all right. But yeah, so I like that song for the singing, really. Just me wanting to try to sing along and, you know, try to hit those.
It's a fun song to attempt to sing.
Yes. And yeah. I mean, even trying to rap Nicki Minaj's verse, she raps really fast on that song. So I really like her flow on that verse. So yeah, Bang Bang is one of my favorites just because it's like a solid bop. Like, if you had to define bop, I would say Bang Bang is it.
I think it's great. Like, it fucking killed it on the Billboard charts that
year.
Yes,
definitely.
It was really, really great. I do have to say, though, Jessie J did kind of sort of overshadow Ariana.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. She's definitely the stronger vocalist on that.
But, yeah, that was a Max Martin track, so catchy as hell. So, yeah, I think that was a really solid one, too.
So,
really great.
I think, what's the next one? Did you have an honorary mention? Yeah, okay, so go ahead.
So if you, like, listened to the deluxe album at all, which you should, there's a couple of bonus tracks. One of them is called Only One. And the other one is called You Don't Know Me. So these are, like, by far the most R&B sounding tracks on almost anything that Ariana has done. And I just think, like, I'm glad they included it because, you know, I do like hearing her voice like that, but like it does make me feel a little bit salty that they weren't on the main album. They were just bonus tracks. But I don't know, like I think I love hearing her, you know, have that soulful sound. I want to get back to like when R&B was doing so well on pop radio as well, like early 2000s or whatever. And I think she has a great voice for that. So I wish they would like push her more into that lane as well. But yeah, those two songs are like amazing. They will really take you back to some R&B songs that you love. The production's great, of course. Yeah, like it's weird because I feel like she does hold an amazing space where you can get your vocals on a nice, catchy, poppy track. But like it makes me think about how many like R&B singers who also could have been pushed into this lane.
Exactly.
That like aren't getting as much love or hype or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned Jasmine Sullivan and, you know, even girls like Tinashe and like, yeah, you know, people who I feel like could maybe be able to hold their own in a lane similar to like what Ariana is like, you know, I don't want to say like, I think leading, yeah, but like she's not the first one that's done it. But I just think for like this crop of like pop girls, I think she's kind of like carving this particular space, you know, because I don't want that like indie pop girl voice to keep going.
Please,
I just
Jesus, you please.
Know,
oh my God,
I just
hate
don't.
It.
And like I think, you know, I want to be able to support Ariana and like other pop vocalists, like true pop vocalists right. that are out here. And I just wish that like people would believe in these R&B singers that could very well be marketed in that lane as well, like right. giving you solid pop produced tracks with great vocals on top of it, and like you can sprinkle the R&B into the album and like give people more of that, which is really what they did with My Everything, because they did have great vocal moments on there that were very R&B sounding, and it just sucks that like not everyone is given those kinds of opportunities, but I just really want Ariana to at least be able to be the blueprint for some of those other artists.
Yeah, I would definitely like to see some of the R&B girls just like get the resources and not be like boxed in. Because I mean, if you send a pop song, a pop sounding song from an R&B quote unquote artist to urban radio, it's not going to do well, because that's not, you know, you don't just send it to urban radio because the person is black, but that's what they do. And then these people flop. So it would be nice to have them pushed on, you know, to the pop circuits yeah. and stuff like that. Yeah, following Ariana's
but yeah, that's
footsteps.
Like an annoying ass industry problem. Yeah. We've talked about so many times. And hopefully we are not speaking in vain. And one day they will actually change.
But overall, My Everything is a solid album.
Yeah. Thank you for riding on this road with me, because again, I mentioned this is one of my personal favorite pop albums, but it's not so much with Kay. So maybe, you know, I mean, definitely in the future, we'll let Kay pick an album and I will come along on the ride.
Yes. But yeah, so let's get into our flops and faves then. If this is your first time listening, this is our flops and faves, and that's our least favorite thing of the week and our favorite thing of the week. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, sure. So my flop, I'll start with my fave. I spent the last week in Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Or South by Southwest. and it was really fun. Like, my fave is definitely Austin, Texas. I think I had heard a lot about that city.
Yes.
Like
hipster
from
central.
Friends and everything. But I just had never been. So it was just really cool to be down there and, like, got to see a bunch of shows and, like, meet a bunch of people. And I was there for work. So it was, like, cool to be able to, like, cover it as well and be able to like talk to a bunch of people that I'd been wanting to talk to for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was really fun. Austin has, it apparently is the live music capital of the world, and literally saw live music everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the airport, at my terminal, one day I was walking down the street and I saw a live band playing on the bed of a truck like as it was driving.
Oh my goodness.
Down the road. It was in motion and they were playing. I don't know like how they secured everything, but it was so cool. Like, you know, every single block you walk down, like obviously, you know, like in New Orleans, like, it's very similar. Like, you walk down every street corner, there's someone playing on the side of the road or, like, you know, in a bar or whatever. And so it was very similar to that, but, like, it just, I feel like because also South by Southwest was happening, it was just at another
level. Amplified.
Because all these bands come from everywhere, and they are trying to get heard and seen, and you also have local artists that are, you know, trying to make sure they don't get lost in the shuffle. So it was just really cool being a part of that and, like, getting to see people that I really admire and everything, and seeing bands and stuff that I like. But, yeah, so Austin is my fave. And then my flop is kind of related because in Austin, I had, like, some of the best tacos and barbecue I've had in my entire life. Shout out to Torchy's Tacos and Franklin's Barbecue. But now I'm back in D.C., and so my flop is D.C.'s food scene. Because I literally, I don't know if I've talked about this on the show before, but I literally feel like D.C. has, like, as a city, it, like, has the worst version of every food
really?
Possible in one place. Yeah. That is my, like, you know, like, analysis of the D.C. food scene. And I'm probably going to get dragged for it. But basically, it's, like, I feel like in other good food cities like New Orleans, mm-hmm. like Austin, like, you can go get really good food that's authentic to that city for, like, a decent price. In D.C., first of all, they don't have a lot of different kind of cuisine that's, like, particular to this city.
Mm-hmm.
But even when you do want to get really good food, you have to pay, like, an arm and a leg to get it.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not fine dining, like, you're not getting good food. Like, and it's so, so frustrating. I mean, the Ethiopian food is solid for sure because there's such a huge community here. But, mm-hmm. like, when you compare it to other cities, like, even New York, like, I just feel like it sucks, and I immediately felt it as soon as I landed back in D.C. So yeah, that's my flop of the week is D.C.'s food scene because I just can't stand it after being here for 2 years. But yeah, those are my flops and faves. So what are yours?
My faves. Okay, so I just have like four songs that I just want to tell y'all to go listen to. So one of them is called Dante's Creek by a duo called They. And they're kind of like Ray Shrimmered, but they can actually sing. It's not really like that melodic rapping type thing that Ray Shrimmered does. Another song is Sundown by Zara Larsson featuring Wizkid off her new album that came out last week, like last Friday or whatever. So good. I think it's the best song on the album, and she should make it a single. Go listen to it. It sounds like a summer song. Third one is Free Smoke by Drake. Now, y'all know I criticize Drake all the time for not rapping and stuff. And, you know, More Life just came out and he's like a Northern London guy on this album. You know, he's changed it up a little bit. But this was the one song I think that he really rapped on. And it almost felt like nothing was the same Drake. So I really enjoyed this song for that reason. The rest of it is singing pretty much. So, you know, if you haven't listened to it yet, you know, whatever. But and the last song is called Touch Me by a girl named Mad, M-A-A-D. And it features Roe James. And she's a new R&B artist. She only has like 3 songs on Apple Music. But yeah, so, you know, I love to plug new R&B, keep R&B alive.
Yes, hashtag keep R&B alive.
Yeah, so it's a really good song, you know, real sensual and stuff like that. So go listen to those songs. Those are fairly new. Yeah, and so my flop this week goes to Aubrey, formerly of Danity Kane.
Oh, no. My former fave,
too. Let me tell you, I'm like, I know this is your girl. Well, was your girl, whatever. But so I don't know exactly where it started, but from what I saw on Twitter, somebody, you know, fans like to be messy and stuff like that. So a former, like, Danity Kane fan said something about, like, Fifth Harmony in a shady type of way or whatever. And so Aubrey went in and, like, agreed with it, retweeted it and all that. And it was something like, you know, Fifth Harmony wouldn't even have a career if it wasn't for you guys, this and that. And it was just really shady and unnecessary. And Danity Kane is over, first of all. It's over. It's done. We don't even know what Dumb Blonde is doing, if it even is a thing anymore. And it's just, I don't want her to be the way she is. Mm-hmm. You are so messy, you know what I mean? Like, this is, like, Danity Kane did not end nicely. You know what I mean? You were involved in mess and things like that. You have girls that have, are coming up under you, and every other girl group that has acknowledged Fifth Harmony has been very graceful towards them for the most part. And they've been, you know, just like, it's so nice to see girl groups come back and be successful, blah, blah, blah. They've been the same way about Little Mix and stuff like that. So I hate to see like older girl groups members like Aubrey be like so shady towards newer girl groups and things like that. Like, we made you, when really, like, I know these were your girls, but they weren't like all that. Like, they weren't, I mean, Destiny's Child. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. So, like, they, I did love them while they were together, but I mean, if we're being completely honest, like, Danity Kane was together for a very short time before they completely disbanded.
Yeah.
Like, they had two solid albums, which I still absolutely love to this day. I think I had a really close attachment to them because I really got to watch their rise, and I had so much faith in them. But I mean, at the end of the day, they weren't like a girl group that like rocked the industry per se. Like, they weren't a Destiny's Child. They weren't a TLC that like truly paved the way. They were just like a part of, you know, the girl group conversation, and they did keep it going. But like, they, there wasn't anything in particular that happened that like, you can say like, oh, they were iconic, like that wasn't necessarily the case. So I loved them, but I mean, yeah, this is like disappointing as hell.
Like, it's expected from her, but it's like, at the same time, why? It's just so messy and unnecessary. You know, if you want to do all of that, like being messy and talking about they wouldn't have a career if it wasn't for you, it's just like, okay, girl. But like, people aren't saying, oh, Danity Kane was the most iconic girl group of all time. Like, so, like, kind of keep your shadiness. Like, it's unnecessary. But, yeah, so she's my flop of the week for that, because it's just like, why? Are you that bored? There's no reality TV shows you can go get a check from, you know, this year? Like, come on now. But anyway, so, yeah, Aubrey is my flop this week. Oh, and, so, oh, yeah, that was the show. That was the show. I did want to do a little bit of housekeeping before we get to the end of the episode, though. Just wanted to update you guys on how we're updating episodes. So, you know, we started doing 2 episodes a month every other week, and now we're doing 3 episodes a month, and we're going to take, you know, like a bye week, a off week, or whatever. So right now we're going to be releasing this episode, and then there'll be 2 more episodes for the weeks coming after that, and then we'll take another break and continue like that. So just wanted to make sure you guys kind of like understood our new schedule and how we're doing things.
Yeah. So don't worry if you don't see us in your feeds for 1 week. It's usually our break week because we can't yet fit into our schedule like a weekly release, because this, you know, isn't our only job as much as we wish it we could. So completely
tell your friends to listen to us
on a podcast. But yeah, like, seriously, thank y'all so much for riding with us, even though you know, we're still kind of like getting on our feet and figuring all of this out. We like appreciate y'all so, so much.
Yes. Oh, and also like, if you're listening to the show and you want to like shout us out or anything, you can use the hashtag tripod. You can also use the hashtag for this week. You can also use the hashtag Black Podcast Week. Yeah, just to kind of like get us out there, because honestly, podcasts, it's really just about word of mouth. Telling your friends.
It truly is.
You know, we talked about Ariana Grande today, so tell your friend that stands Ariana Grande to listen to
like
us.
Yeah, shout us out to the Ariana fan update accounts. Like, we just really want to like keep the conversation alive, and like also just get in tune with, you know, what fandoms are talking about and like what y'all want to hear from us. So yeah, any help we can get in just like spreading the word is like really appreciated.
Yeah, and also rate us on iTunes.
Yes, please. Yes, yes.
Thank
please.
You. Thank you. Please and thank you. That'd
y'all.
Be so nice.
And shout out to our amazing podcast DJ.
Yes.
If you want to shout her out too, you can. Her name's Dion, but she goes by your girl DJ Magic on SoundCloud and Twitter. She produces the music you hear at the beginning and end of every episode, and you can find all of her information in our description box on iTunes or wherever you are listening to the podcast.
Mm-hmm. And also, you can follow us on Twitter, the show at The Fan Podcast. And you can follow our personal Twitters. They'll be in the description box as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, thank y'all for listening. We just got to 20 episodes, which is really cool.
Yes. We're moving on up.
we are moving on up. And again, like, we wouldn't keep going if we didn't know that you guys were out there listening.
Yes, so keep tweeting the hashtag. Like, so I really thank love you to so read much. Your tweets and stuff.
Like, there are some solid, like, people who come back every single week. Yes. And then all of you newbies that are listening for the first time, we appreciate you too.
Yes.
So thank y'all so much for just rolling with us for as long as you have, because it's, like, insane.
Yes.
But yeah.
So yeah, talk to y'all
Bye,
next
guys.
Week.
Bye.
See y'all.